ജയ വിഷുപാൽ പരിഭ്രാജ് ആചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദ ജയ മൃത്യുവിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജ് ആചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാമണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനമാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാന്വാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി ശ്രീകൃതോസ്മി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി യോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്മയാനിതരത ശാഖേഷ്വവിജ്ഞസ്വരാണ് തേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയസൂരയാ തേജോ വായുമതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ വൃഷാ ധാനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തമോഹം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതർക്ഷണാൽ കൃത്യം ുരം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണികാദൃതാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം കണികാവികാവികാവി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యాదేశదారిణీ శ్రీమన్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశాం వ్యాసం హరిదరోదీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవిందపరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదనీసరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసమాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం పాదాలయేషు మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కుజయం వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారకా వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురలో మమ. మోహం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృతాతమం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవిందనా సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధినాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గదినాం పురాణ మునినాం అధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అమృత్వా మనసం దదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఉదారవిందాయ నమత్ర నేత్ర ఎన త్వయా భారతైరపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా. ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వ ఉపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పాఠో వత్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం సజ్జానుమూలమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణకటాజయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్బల శయ్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేరాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ కృపాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తకేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం దివార్తగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథాసంబోధనాపూదితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహప్రేదీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారతపంగజకలిమలప్రజ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంతి దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయనీయం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థితతద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యసిద్ధియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం విదుర్సురాసురగణైర్దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. Discussing yesterday, Krishna says about the demonic nature, isn't it? We were seeing three verses we talked about yesterday. Kama mashatya dushpuram dambhamanam adanvidaha mohagrihitvad asadgraham pravartande ashujivradaha chinda abhirimeyam cha pralayandam ubashridaha కామోభోగపరమా ఏదావతి నిశ్చిత ఆశావాశ శతైర్బద్ధ్వా ಕಾಮಕ್ರೋಧವರಾಯಣ ಈ ಹಂದೇ ಕಾಮಭೋಗಾರ್ಥಂ ಅನ್ಯೇನಾಥ ಸಂಶಯನ್. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ನೇಚರ್, ಡಿಮಾನಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫಿಕಲಿ ಒನ್ ರೀಸನ್, ಟು ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ನಾಟ್ ಟು ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಹೌ ಫಾರ್ ದೀಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಅಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಚೇಂಜ್ ದಿ ಡಿಮಾನಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅನದರ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್. ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ಎಫರ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಸಮ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಟು ಸಮ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್. That is why Krishna is saying like this. And we have seen yesterday also that as you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions there that this dambham mana madanida, they come from kartrutvam and kartrutvam na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya svajati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. That svabhavam is the cause behind it. Svabhavam is always working, and that is difficult to change. If you remember in the Bhagavadam, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava like this, he says, Dandanyasa param dhanam, kamastyaga param tapam, subhava vijayam shavuryam, satyanja samadarshanam. You can see Krishna's definition is so different, isn't it? Dhanam, charity is concerned, Krishna is saying, that if you don't give any pain to another living entity, that is the greatest charity. Dandanyasa param dhanam, kamatyaga param tapam. Greatest austerity is when one is able to give up desires. You see, it is from these verses that this conclusion that not doing a wrong thing is more powerful than doing something in a positive way. Not doing something wrong is more powerful. You can see the way Krishna puts it there. Dandanyasa param dhanam, kamastyaga param tapam. When you give up desires, that sacrificing your own desires, not cultivating desires inside, Krishna says that is the greatest austerity. Not going to the forest and performing penances or doing anything which is more difficult for the body to execute. Like for example, Hiranyakashipu and many others, they performed very severe austerities in the forest, tapas. That is not as big good as one who gives up desires. That is the point. Kamastyaga parantama. Similarly, svabhava vijayam shauryam. A person is very courageous if he is able to change his own nature. So from that you can understand how difficult it is to change the nature. Nature means vasana, which has come with us. And you can see, Vidura asked Maitreya about this. Maitreya mentioned to Vidura that Sukhaya Karmani Karoti Loko, that everybody is working for to become happy in this world, but it doesn't look like that they are going to become happy. Instead, not only that happiness doesn't come, instead distress is coming as well. They are not working for distress, but distress still comes. So when they asked this question, Vidura asked this question to Maitreya Maharshi. Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura, what do you think is the reason? Vidura says that the only thing I can understand from this is that people have continuously worked for happiness, but the reason is not coming is that they have some prarabdham behind it. Prarabdham will overrule all these things. And when prarabdham comes like that, there is vasana behind it. And vasanas are not easy to change. Sometimes you can see you have some good intentions to do something good in this world, but you go and do something wrong in spite of that. Why did that happen? That is the strength of the vasana inside. Vasana pushes us in another direction. And even though you know it is something is wrong, still you are forced to act in the wrong way. That power is more powerful because of the vasanas inside. That is what Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura. And that vasana has come from prarabdha karma, from karma that has been executed before and no one is able to come out of that. So, it is at that time, then the question asked, Vidura asked Maitreya, when did this start, this whole thing? Maitreya Maharshi said that it has started very, very long time ago. First of all, it is only with the moment we turned our attention away from Atma, away from Krishna, it has started. The moment, and you can't ask the question why it happened. That question is not allowed there. The moment we have turned our attention away from Krishna, away from Atma, spiritual life, this prarabdham, vasana, everything has started, karma started, and this cycle has begun. So after say, so that's why he says here that, and from then on, kartrutvam, karmam, everything happened after that. So we saw yesterday that na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srijyati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. We mentioned that in the 5th chapter, is it not? So Krishna mentions there that the kartrutvam and karmam is not in the atma. Soul doesn't have any kartrutvam. Soul doesn't have any karmam either. And na karma phalasam yogam, that also we know that karmam and its results are not connected to each other. This is a misunderstanding in our mind. We can see that in this world, two people are working, one's results are different than the other person's results. Because karma phalasam yogam is not there. Karmam and phalam, you can't interconnect them. You can't link them. Svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna is saying that svabhavam is working in a person. And then we have also seen that Krishna mentioned the reason for that is ajnanam. Ajnanam is the reason. There is no other reason. Nadate kasichil papam najaiva suhrutam vibhu. Ajnana enavrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti chandava. Ajnanam is the cause of everything. Ajnana enavrutam jnanam. Ajnanam is covering the jnanam. Ignorance is covering the knowledge. Tena muhyanti jandava. That is where we stopped yesterday. That it is from there, Krishna mentions a few things there, that it is difficult. Why? Krishna says, because the jnanam will not manifest in a person because if his intelligence is polluted. If intelligence is polluted. So, buddhi or intelligence is, even though this whole thing is so simple, what Krishna mentioned in that verse. Which one? In the Nadate Kasichil Pabam, Nakartrutam Najakarmani Logasya Sujati Prabhu, Nakarma Bhalasam Yogam Sabhavastu Pravartade. Krishna is saying to us, but we won't accept it. We won't accept it. Even though it is simple. Even though Krishna is saying to us, it's a simple thing. Nakartrutam Najakarmani Logasya. Krishna is telling us that. And we also know from our own life in this world that it is true what Krishna says. But still we cannot accept it. Why? Because of the polluted intelligence. Jadilam. That's what they call it. So what buddhi does says, simple things it makes it complicated. Simple things it makes it complicated. That's what buddhi does. Intelligence does that. So Krishna said there, jnanenadu, in the next verse, jnanenadu tad ajnanam yesham nashidam atmanam tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. In the next verse, that is the 16th verse, in the same 5th chapter, 14, 15, 16, 3 verses, important verses. Jnanenadu tad ajnanam yesham nashidam atmanam tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Krishna is saying here that through knowledge, one whose ignorance has been taken away, then he will see that like a sun shines. In a similar way, his own knowledge and realization will show his own identity, who he is. He will experience it himself. He doesn't have to look for anything. Once the ignorance is taken out from inside by jnanam, ajnanam is removed from inside, then automatically, like the sun, when the sun comes, everything is seen without any difficulty. Is it not? In the similar way, Krishna is saying, your own swarupam, who you are, what your identity is, will be revealed to you when the ajnanam is taken out. Just like when the clouds goes away, sun comes out, everything is seen clearly, without any difficulty. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when ajnanam goes away, jnanam comes in, then immediately your own identity, who you are, will come to you. That means from that point, you will not think yourself to be the body. The bodily identity will go. Naturally, it will disappear. That's what Krishna is saying there. ആദിത്യവൽജ്ഞാനം പ്രകാശയതി തൽപരം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സോ സ്ട്രേറ്റ് ഫോർവേഡ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ഈസ് തേഷാം ആദിത്യവൽജ്ഞാനം പ്രകാശയതി തൽപരം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ സോ ദാറ്റ് അജ്ഞാനം or how that ajnanam goes away and jnanam comes, that is Krishna's grace. That's nobody can do anything about it. So, and that is why we seek saying that kripa, mercy, grace is necessary, isn't it? Taimanavar mentioned this in a very nice way. It's very interesting the way he puts it. He was a great scholar he was, and in the Jnana Parambara, in the path of the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, he was a great personality. And he, in the Matrabhudeshwara temple, if you go to Tiruchirappalli, you will see there a famous temple, Matrabhudeshwara temple, where he spent a lot of time in that. His spiritual master had a lot of siddhis, very highly advanced in the yoga siddhis. But he was silent, he won't speak anything. He spent a long time with them together. Taimanavar and his spiritual master, they spent a long time together. Many years he served him and looked after him in this Madhrabhudeshwara temple. And they never spoke each other anything. He knew, he understood the needs of this teacher, and he was doing what was necessary for him. One day, without mentioning anything, he walked away from there. From that temple, he walked out and went away from there. And at that time, he understood that he was leaving the place, the way he was going away, he sensed that. He went up to him and told him that, please instruct me. Please instruct me something about spiritual life. That is natural. In a way that he felt the necessity that, I have spent so many years now, but I haven't got any direct instructions yet. Please instruct me, he said. That spiritual master told him that, be silent. That's enough. You don't need anything else to do. Just be silent, he said. So that was the instruction. And you could see that Taimanavar mentions this later, that I have studied so much Shastram. And I've also practiced a lot of different Vidya. Vidya means that there are so many processes in the Jnana Margam. Dahara Vidya, Upakosala Vidya, Akshivirusha Vidya. So many Vidyas are mentioned in the Upanishads for them to practice. I've done all that. And not only that, I've taught many others Vedantam. He says, I taught many others Vedantam also. And he says here, in spite of all that, I have not felt happiness within me. I am not feeling peaceful in spite of doing all these things. And then he says afterwards that I could see that what the problem was. What problem was this, he says there, that I was always trying to understand things with my knowledge, what I got from the book. The knowledge, what I got from the book, I was trying to apply that in life. But all it was doing was, I was distributing what I heard and I studied to others. And I was trying to apply that in my own life, it wasn't working. And inside me, he says, it was actually hurting me, he said. Why am I not getting any realization? It's all in the lips, it's all in the mind, it's all in the intelligence. And it is not going further down than that in experience level. In the anubhuti level, it was not happening. This is the difficulty in spiritual life. So many people also have the same problem. Keep on asking questions, question, answer, where is it going to end? It's not going to end anywhere. That till this anubhuti realization comes to what within oneself, we will always be dissatisfied, and that will always hurt you inside. You will feel very disturbed over that. So this is what he was experiencing that. So he thought that he will ask this question to his spiritual master, and he asked him, that Upanishads talk about all these things. So many things Upanishads are saying to us. How will it manifest in me? He asked the spiritual master. So this spiritual master told him, who rarely spoke, he said, look everything through grace, he said. That means everything what you have learned from the Shastram, from Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, everything, look at everything through grace. In other words, what it means is that till you are conscious that it is through Krishna's grace that this will happen to you. That firm conviction, we don't have that. That is why the difficulty is. As much as we convince ourselves that although you are studying all this, reading all these things, if it has to happen, it has to happen by Krishna's grace only. So that means along with jnanam, bhakti is necessary. Without bhakti and surrender, any amount of knowledge and books and association will not really develop inside till that grace comes. When Krishna's grace puts it through, the whole process so simple. Makes it very simple. So, just like a friend, he was saying to the spiritual master, understood the problem, disciple's problem. He says to him that what you don't have at the moment is that grace. You don't have that. That is because you have always been thinking that you will study, you will get it through your effort. And in spiritual life, if you take that approach, it may be a very, very long time to wait. Whereas the moment we learn some things from the Shastram, and if we learn that, it is all Krishna's grace alone that will make it happen. That is why, if you remember, when Ekadasha Skandam was spoken, Uddhava's words to Krishna was very interesting in the Bhagavadam. He says to Krishna, Uddhava says, like this, he says, that if you speak to me, Srimad Bhagavadam, only up to the extent you want me to understand, I will get it. Not more than that. You can say so many things, but how much it should happen to me, that much I will get it. That is the grace. That's called grace. So Kripa, Kripa Sashalkaram it is called. Kripa is a very powerful force in spiritual life. It is the driving force. Everything else we are studying with the mind and the intelligence. Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. But the impact of that knowledge, what is in the Upanishads, what is in the Bhagavadam, in order that it has to happen to us, that happens by Krishna's grace, which means Antaryami's grace. Antaryami's grace, who is inside, isn't it? So, he says, Saivanavar says at that point, from that day onwards, I never depended on the knowledge, I depended on the grace. He switched from knowledge to the grace. Up to that time, I was studying books, looking at the books, reading all sorts of Vedantic texts, thinking that it will happen, but it wasn't happening. But the moment I switched on from that, when the spiritual master told him that grace is the driving force behind it, and he said, I held the lotus feet of my spiritual master and told him, and he understood that it is through the grace alone this will happen, not otherwise. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. When one, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Sun lights up everything in the daytime. So, how does that happen? That happens through grace. Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham ashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. That is what Krishna is saying here. Just like you can see, we keep the glasses and searching for the glasses. Sometimes it happens, especially when you get older, isn't it? Glass is there on the nose, but still, where have I forgotten? I left my glasses somewhere. I'm searching for that. Similarly, Alma is inside, and that is our real identity. Alma is inside. And keeping this Atma, we are searching for Atma elsewhere. And I'm depressed, distressed over various things in this world. What does the spiritual master do? Spiritual master, what he does is that He is not creating anything fresh in us. He is not bringing any new knowledge from outside, nor is He going to bring the Atma from outside. They are both inside. Atma is inside, the knowledge is also inside. And all he is doing is, he is making us aware that we are complete Vastu, Purna Vastu, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's my identity. All that what he does is, makes us aware of that. That's all. It's already there, isn't it? So, it is at that time, this Ajnanam, as Krishna is saying here, Jnanenadu Tad Ajnanam. Ajnanam goes away, and when that awareness comes back inside us, and Prajna, Shanti, or peace comes inside, and this Kripa, or grace, is the key for opening up the experience world inside. Krishna's grace is that key for opening up that field of grace, Anubhuti Mandalam, experience field inside. The key for that is this Kripa, grace, isn't it? So, in order to get that Kripa, now the question is Kripa, how to get the Kripa, isn't it? For that, Krishna is saying Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam means for that purpose. So, when he says to him that I have offered a lot of flowers to Krishna in worshipping him, but he says to him, that is not the kind of flowers required, he said. He mentions to him, there are 8 kinds of flowers to use for worshipping Krishna. Ahimsa Pradhamam Pushpam, Pushpam Indriya Nigraham, Sarvabodha Daya Pushpam, Kshama Pushpam Visheshada, Shanti Pushpam, Tapa Pushpam, Dhyana Pushpam, Tathaivaja, Satyam Ashtavidam Pushpam. 8 kinds of flowers. If these flowers are inside, then that is what is to be offered to Krishna. What are they? Ahimsa Prathamam Pushpam. Ahimsa, which we have discussed before, what Ahimsa means, isn't it? Pushpam Indriya Nigraham, control of the senses. Sarvabhuta Daya Pushpam, compassion to all other living entities. Kshama Pushpam, tolerance. Visheshada, Shanti Pushpam, Pushpam of peace inside. Tapasya Pushpam, and Dhyanam Pushpam, always absorbed meditation. Tathaivaja, Satyam, truthfulness. Ashtavidam Pushpam, Vishnor Preetikaram Bhavet, it pleases Vishnu. Vishnor Preetikaram Bhavet. So, these things what is spoken, this is from the Vishnu Puranam, these things are spoken there. Vishnor Preetikaram Bhavet, how to worship Vishnu. So, cultivating this Devi Sampatta, Devi Sampatta inside a person, that itself is the worship of Krishna. If this deity, this Devi Sampatta, divine nature, if it builds up in a person, that alone is deity, worship of Krishna. That itself is worship of Krishna. Because if the Devi Sampatta or divine nature comes in a person, that means sacrificing nature comes, Tyagam, and or fixed in the truth, Satyanishta, or Shanti. If these things have come in a person, what we have spoken here, that means that Krishna has started manifesting inside. Krishna has started manifesting inside. Because you can see this, when you go to a person, and in his presence itself, if you are feeling peaceful, Samadhanam, and Shanti inside, that is what is called a Satsangam. Isn't it? Satsangam means that in that person's presence, you feel peaceful, you feel Shanti in life. So that is why in the Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says this. What he says is that even if you go to great personalities, but even if you talk to them about worldly matters, it's more beneficial than that is Satsangam, rather than going to a materialist and talking to him about spiritual life. If you go to a materialist and talk to him about spiritual activities, spiritual matters, it is not as powerful as going to a realized soul and even talking to him about material topics. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So why is it like that? Because in his presence that this force comes from him. Where is it coming from? Because of his divine nature, Devi Sampatta. Devi Sampatta, divine nature, that is present in him. So that divine nature is Tyagam, Vairagyam, Sattva Samshuddhi, what Krishna has spoken before. And all these things he has mentioned, and as much as it keeps growing inside, Shanti comes in a person. Shanti comes from that. When we study this demonic nature, you can see everything that is opposite to this is happening there in the demonic nature. So when Devi Sambhat is growing inside, Devi Sambhat is growing inside, and you can see that at that time, Devi Sambhat is growing inside, this Tyagam, Vairagyam, Sattva Samshuddhi, all these things comes in a person in a natural way, and Krishna says that that brings into Shanti, and that is called a Dharma. That is called Dharma. So when these special qualifications, what Krishna has spoken here, when they grow up in a person, that is called a Dharma. That is called Dharma. So so Adhyalpa Sadhana is something that we make it happen inside. After Krishna saying this, this is all in relationship with the divine nature, Devi Sambhata. After that, Krishna has started talking about the Asuri Sambhata, isn't it? Asuri Sambhata. So, in that fifth verse, Krishna has spoken. If you remember, in the fifth verse, Krishna said something. What did he say? He said, Devi, sorry. Yeah, Devi Sambhat Vimokshaya Nibhandaya Asuri Mata. Isn't it? In the fifth verse, Devi Sambhat Vimokshaya Nibhandaya Asuri Mata Mashucha Sampadam Devim Abhijadosi Pandava. Remember? Devi Sambhat Vimokshaya, transcendental qualities are conducive for liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, you are born with the divine qualities. So, when Krishna mentions that before, that if this Devi Sambhat has come in a person, very easily he will escape from this material life, from material existence. Very easily he will come out of it, provided this Devi Sambhat builds up inside. So you can see, without Devi Sambhat, it's not going to happen. Studying Shastram is there, but studying Shastram won't make a person. It is the Devi Sambhat that makes it happen in a person. Devi Sambhat, which Krishna has spoken before, remember? Starting with that, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, Dhanam Dhamascha Yajnascha Swadhyaya Stava Arjavam, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodam Tyagam Shanti Abhaishunam, Deya Bodheshu Aloluptam Mardavam Hri Ajabalam Tejas Kshama Dhridi Shaujam Nadroham Adimanida Nadeva Sadeva Sambadam Devi Abhijadasya Bharata. All of them are the divine nature. So it's the divine nature. If those qualities manifest in a person, very soon he will come out of the bodily existence. Bodily identity will drop straight away. So now you can see why it is so important, divine nature. But people are more attracted to study the demoniac nature, because some pleasure we get from that. And then brand everybody else as demons. That's a pleasure from that. But that doesn't help. That is not going to help. What we need is the divine nature. That is why primarily Krishna wanted to talk about the divine nature. Even didn't want to discuss the demonic nature. But then Arjuna's questions were such that why it is so important this Devi Sambhata, Asuri Sambhata. Krishna said in that fifth verse, Devi Sambhata Vimokshaya Nibhandaya Asuri Mada, that Devi Sambhata will help you to get released, whereas Asuri Sambhat will bind you more to this material world. Then after that, Krishna thought, let me explain this Asuri Sambhat. Because he sensed in Arjuna that still the doubt was there. Otherwise, Krishna had no intention to talk about the demonic nature. What's the point in talking about it? But when Krishna understood that, Arjuna had this doubt in his mind. Why it is so important, this Devi Sambhat compared to Asuri Sambhat? So first Krishna put that introduction to Arjuna, saying that if one has Devi Sambhat, that person will very quickly come out of this material world. He will free himself, very easily he will come out of this place. Whereas Asuri Sambhat, if somebody has, very much so he will be bound in this world in so many different ways. So when he said that, Arjuna's inquisitiveness was, am I Devi Sambhat or am I Asuri Sambhat? Like we all think the same thing, but we are very sure we are all Devi Sambhat. This is where the difficult, and that is why Krishna wanted to make it clear to us that it is not that simple as you think, that this Devi Sambhat and Asuri Sambhat. Devi Sambhat is, if a person who has Devi Sambhat in him, he won't talk about it. But we feel so confident, why? Because we have Asuri Sambhat inside. That's why we are feeling that confidence. A person with Devi Sambhat will never say this or feel any confidence in them. He is always conscious of that Devi Sambhat is important. So Arjuna got that out. Looking at Arjuna's face, Krishna sensed that he is having this doubt. So straight away told him, Arjuna, don't worry, you are a person with Devi Sambhat. So still seeing Arjuna's mood, sensing the mood, Krishna felt the necessity to explain Asuri Sambhat. And that is how Asuri Sambhat came up. And the discussion started after that. And that is where you have seen how that Asuri Sambhat works, isn't it? In the last few verses, when we discuss that, kamam ashrityam, first thing is, pravartincha navartinda janana vidurasura, na shaujam chabijajaro, na satyam deshu vidyade. The first quality of a demon, demonic nature. Pravartincha navartincha janana vidurasura, na chayvam chabijajaro, na satyam deshu vidyade. What else? Asatyam, apradishtamde, jagadahura, anishwaram, avaraspara sambhudam, kimanyer kamahedugam. Evam drashtvam avasthabhyam nashtalma alpabuddhaya prabhavani ugrakarmanam chayayam jagadohida. All that explanation of a more detailed talk about the Asuri Sambhat Krishna talked about there. And then he mentioned there what we saw, that kamam ashritya dushpuryam dambamana madhanvidaham moha grihitvad asadgrahan pravartande ashujivradaham. This is all the nature of it, which we have looked at before, isn't it? You have seen that to extent. Then last class we discussed this, chindam aparimeyam cha pralayandam upashradaha kamobha bhogaparamo yadavad idi nishchidaha. It's a chindam aparimeyam cha. His thought waves are so strong in that person, one after the other. Chindau aparimeyam cha. Pralayantam upashrida. When will he stop? Never. Till the pralayam comes. Pralayantam upashrida. It means up to the point of leaving the body. Till then, sometimes you can see some people are thinking. All the time thinking. If you ask them, what are you thinking about? They'll say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking about, but thoughts are coming. Continuously. It's not a good sign. Constantly in the thoughtful stage. It's not anything beneficial. They are not reflecting on Atma or the soul or anything. It's all thinking about something else in this world. That kind of mind. That is what it's called. Chindau aparimeyam cha. And then he says, Pralayanta Upashridaha. Pralayanta Upashridaha. Kamobha Bhoga Paramau. Edavadidhi Nishchida. Because the reason Krishna is saying why so many thought waves are coming. Kamobha Bhoga Paramam Edavadidhi Nishchida. Instead of making the decision for self-realization, Vyavasaya Alpiyabuddhi, കാമോപഭോഗ പരമോ ഏതാവതിഥി നിശ്ചിത. നിശ്ചയം ഓർ ദി ഡിറ്റർമിനേഷൻ ഓർ ഡിസിഷൻ ഹാസ് ബീൻ മെയ്ഡ് ഫോർ സെൻസ് എൻജോയ്മെൻറ്റ്. സോ മെനി സെൻസ് എൻജോയ്മെൻറ്റ് പ്ലാൻസ് ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ചിന്തൗ അപരിമേയം ച കീപ് കമ്മിങ് തോട്ട്സ് വൺ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദി അതർ. പ്രളയാന്തം ഉപാശ്രിത വിച്ച് വിൽ നെവർ സ്റ്റോപ്പ്. ദീസ് ആർ ഓൾ അസുരിക് നേച്ചർ. ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണൻ മെൻഷൻസ് ദെയർ ആശാപാശ ശതേർബദ്ധം കാമക്രോധപരായണ. ദൻ ഇഹന്തേ കാമഭോഗാർത്ഥം അന്യേനാർത്ഥ സഞ്ചയൻ. ദെൻ ഇസ് ഈസ് ബൗണ്ട് ബൈ എ നെറ്റ്വർക്ക് ഓഫ് ഹൺഡ്രഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് തൗസൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ ലസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ആംഗർ. ദേ സെക്യൂർ മണി ബൈ ലീഗൽ മീൻസ് ഫോർ സെൻസ് ഗ്രാറ്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ. സോ ആഫ്റ്റർ സേയിങ് സോ കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ദെയർ ബിഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ദേവി സമ്പദ് വിമോക്ഷായ ഈസ് എൻ ഇറ്റ്. So, once who has got Devi Sampath, he will escape very easily. One great Mahatma used to say like this, if you see in people a simplicity, simple nature, that simplicity means that, that means certain people you can observe that in some people, very simple nature. What indicates that is that he is matured enough for self-realization. That is what it is. People are different, isn't it? Some people are very, very simple. They are not disturbed over things and they feel very peaceful within themselves. That's an indication of a person who is ready for self-realization. Because people who speak one thing and keep something else inside, kutilata it's called, they will have a very difficult time. And such people, no matter how much they chant or whatever sadhana they perform, nothing will happen. Why? Because this Devi Sambhata has not happened in them. So because we have to take each and every item. Krishna has spoken in this 26 things as Devi Sambhata, and one should meditate on that to help us to free ourselves from the asuric nature. So, why Asuri Sambhata was spoken? The reason is that there is a thing called in Shastram called Heyobayam. Heyobayam means it will, you will see this in the Bhagavatam also. Remember, in the middle of 10th canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi talks about the spring, the season changes in Vrindavanam. Have you noticed this one chapter? Hrutu Varnana. It's called Hrutu Varnana. Different Hrutus. Hrutus means different seasons. How they come in Vrindavanam, how they manifest. And you will wonder, right in the middle of 10th canto, Vedavyasa has given one chapter like that. First of all, it's all pastimes of Krishna. Right in the middle of the pastimes, one chapter, Krishna talks about the change of seasons in Vrindavanam. You can look at that when you go back into, I don't know which chapter number that is. Somewhere in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, you will see. Heyobayadam, it's called. What it means is that, to talk about the seasons and its impact on us. And that, in that chapter, Vedavyasa is saying, Shivabrahmash is saying this actually, to Parikshit, that how different things are interconnected with the nature in this world. Different kind of interconnected with the nature in this world. So there, positively and negatively it is spoken in that chapter. If you look at that chapter, you will see that. Things are spoken in a positive way and things are spoken in a negative way. Reason behind that is that positive things you accept, negative things you take notice of. What is negative in your spiritual life? So while changing, seasons are changing, so many examples are given there that you have to go through that chapter. Prabhupada took that chapter separately and wrote another book about it, which I don't think it's available on sale now anymore, but it used to be there before. That to look at the nature and positive things to take and negative things to leave behind. Similarly, this is also Heyobayam. Which one? This Devi Sambhata and Asuri Sambhata. Devi Sambhati is spoken to take it on board. Asuri Sambhati is spoken to be beware of, not to fall into that. So, Asuri Sambhati the Krishna has spoken the symptoms, isn't it? What are they? Pravartinja nivartinja janana vidurasura na jaivam sabhi jajaro na satyam teshu vidyade asatyam apradishtanda jagadahura nishwaram avaraspra sambhudam kimanyer kamahedugam. So, first thing Krishna is saying here, as far as this world is concerned, in the opinion of those people, who those with the demonic nature, there is nothing much in this world, they are saying here, that if you can enjoy in this world, enjoy it as much as you can. That's their philosophy. That's all what they know about this world. Isn't it? We say also, enjoy yourself. We say to others, isn't it? So that's all what we know. That is asuric nature. To think that the world is for enjoyment is asuric nature. So, and enjoy and whatever time you have in this world, a lot of people have this principle, isn't it? This philosophy in life. That I'm here only for a short period of time. Let me make the best of it. And best of it means what? Enjoy as much as I can here. And fulfill, they see this world only a place where they can fulfill all their desires inside. So, and if you think that if they can, and they try very hard to do that, but it doesn't happen in that way. It does not happen in that way. So, Mahalpa says like this, that Prakriti put this feeling into our mind and cheats us. Prakriti puts this thought into us that you can enjoy here, you can enjoy here, and they cheats us in that way. They give this example also in the olden days. Nowadays they have these oil mills where they extract the oil from the oil seeds, isn't it? In the past, what they used to have before the electric motor was developed, hundreds of years ago, they had in the villages, still there, some places where there's no electricity, they do that. There is a center point, like a post like this. From there is a large pole, and there is a trench all around. You must have all seen in the villages these things. And there is two bulls, they'll be walking around in circle. And in this trench, they have filled all the oil seeds. And connected to this large pole, there is another one coming down with a heavy wheel attached to that. So when the bulls are walking in circles, this stone will go over this oil seeds, and the oil will be extracted out from that. But bulls, it is difficult to keep pushing the bulls all the time. They will not show any, after a while they will also stop. So what the farmers do, or those who are extracting the oil, what they do is, in front of the two bulls, they will tie down a huge stick with a lot of nice green grass in front of them. So the bulls are thinking, I'll get that grass. And looking at the grass, they'll keep walking, trying to get the grass. And they'll keep going in circle. In that process, the oil gets extracted from the oil seeds. So, similarly, we are also like that in the world. It's not much different, isn't it? We are thinking that if I go to work and earn a lot of money, I'll become happy one day. Where is that happiness? Till now it hasn't come. And it will never come. It will never come. We are thinking like that. If I go to work, earn a lot of money, maintain a family, one day, oh, everything is going to be rosy. But on the other hand, what happens? As you get the retirement age, problems are multiplied more than what it was in there before. And happiness never comes. This is the way Prakriti cheats us in this way. It puts us this illusion into our head that if you do all these things, you will be alright one day. Everything is going to come out nicely. Finally, everything is going to come out nicely, but which never happens. Different Mahalpa says in a different ways the same thing they say there. So, you can see, and if for that purpose, what all austerities you have to do to work. Sometimes you can see with one slice of toast, you come boarding the train because you didn't have time to have your breakfast even properly at home. So, then you see there are shortage of time in life, everything. And People have to work till midnight sometimes, and daytime, nighttime without any. Every time you go to London, you have a look. Even the middle of the night, men, women, without any difference, they are going to work, they are coming back from work. No difference at all. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you drive through London, you will see people are going to work, they are coming back from work. You start thinking, what a life is this? That no day, no night, no difference at all, isn't it? So what can you say about it? That is how Prakriti puts us into this situation like that. And there's no way to escape route also from this. So why? Because Krishna is saying there that nature creates this situation. That's why he says here, Chindau abarimeyam cha pralayandam upashridaha kama bhoga kamobha bhoga parama edavadiri nischidaha. So when they rishis, knowing well that all these things can happen, they told us, don't live a life like that. And they gave us a disciplined life, a lifestyle which is favorable for spiritual life. Because they knew that if they don't put any control on this, any boundaries on this, human nature is to do all these kind of things. No regulation in life, no discipline in life. Living as we like, working when we like, whatever that suits us. All sorts of life people live in this world, getting up at 10, 11 in the morning, is it not? And we can completely sleeping, waking up at 5 o'clock in the evening, then watching the premiership football for a few hours, and then going out to eat in some restaurant somewhere. They know this, that this will happen. So therefore they told us that this is not the life for human species. And they put discipline, discipline, discipline. Therefore what they did was, they put so much work on the spiritual side for us, that somehow or the other, not that all these different programs in the temple, in the ashram, is done not for the purpose of that itself does anything good, so that you won't go and do something wrong. To avoid that, they keep the strong program in the morning and the evening. Particularly morning program and the evening program. It is for this reason it has been structured. That we don't go and do something, otherwise what will happen is, if we don't have anything like that, we will not discipline ourselves. We will live a life of what we like, isn't it? Sometimes people say, I slept the whole day, now because I slept I'm tired, so I have to sleep a little bit more, because I got tired after sleeping. Some people say like that, isn't it? So that is why, you remember Krishna also mentions this in the 6th chapter, Yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhavadasya yogo bhavadi dukaha. Krishna says, if you want to progress in spiritual life, yoga system, yukta aharam, and yukta viharam, and yukta karma, it's necessary. Remember, in the 6th chapter you will see that verse. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhodasya yogo bhavadi dukaha. It's a... Because people ask this question, how should I live in this world? That's the answer. 17. Yes. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains. 17. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Yukta sapnava bhodasya yogo bhavadi dukaha. So you can see all spiritual masters, and Krishna himself says to us that it is necessary to regulate life. To regulate life. So that is why he says here. And Swami Ramatirtha, he was very good in talking about it. At a very young age, In 1902, he went to America. 1902, he went to America. He was he took sannyasam at a very, he was a sannyasi and he was a very mathematics professor in Lahore University. He was a professor as well as a sannyasi himself. Mathematics professor he was. At the age of 28, he took sannyas. And in the age of 30, he went to America. When he went to America, he had no money with him. And only a little cloth bag with him. See the strength of that realization inside. And when the ship arrived in America, and when he had to come out of the deck from the ship, he was standing there with this cloth bag on his shoulder, and everybody got down and walked away from there. So someone there came up to him and asked him, "Are you not getting down?" He said, "Yes, I am getting down," he said. And he said, the trip was arranged by the king of Theri Garhwal. Theri Garhwal, the king, he has arranged the paid for the fare to go to the in the ship. So he has in he didn't make any arrangements for the stay, the king. He arranged for the fare to go and told him to go. Because he said, "I want to go to America and see what's happening there." When he went there, and he had no cash with him or anything like that. So one person comes up to him and says to him that, "Have you not got any baggage?" He said, "No, I have no baggage." "Have you got anybody to come to receive you where you are coming?" Because those days, ship journeys was very, very rare, isn't it? It's not like today. Every day, 10 flights from... That didn't exist then. It was so rare thing. So this person actually asked him that, "Who is going to receive you?" He said, "You have come to receive me," he said to him. He says to him, with full confidence, he says this to him. That person was so affected by the Ramchandra's words, he says to him, "Come with me then." And he stayed with him 2 years since then. 2 years he spent his time with him. He had no money and he had no one to care for. But this is how it was. That was his strength in the Swamiji's strength. It was like that. So, and that he looked after him for these 2 years when Ramachandra was there. And he spent a lot of time, spoken Vedantam to many, many people. He had a big audience at that time. A lot of books were written at that time. And some of those books were published later in The Woods of Self-Realization. It's a book you can download it on the website also. And so much conviction inside that Krishna will look after everything. Where is that coming from? From that divine nature in him. Devi Sampata. It was so strong in him. And he always dependent completely on Krishna. Krishna will look after everything. There was no time when he never felt different. Sometimes you can see that normal life, people get married saying that at the old age somebody will be there to look after when you are ill, isn't it? Eventually it ends up you looking after them. Other way it happens. So that is why Krishna is saying here that this yoga kshemam is, Krishna says it is his responsibility and nobody else's. Nobody else's. And that is why he mentions here yoga kshema durandharam. Yoga kshema means that looking after the material side as well as the spiritual side. Yoga kshema durandharasya sagala shraya prado prado yogino drishta drishta mato obadesha kritino bahyandara vyapina sarvajnyasya dayakarasya bhavada kim veditavyam mayaha shambho tvam paramandaranga idime chitte smarandyanvaham. Yoga kshema durandarasya sagala shraya pradayo yogino. That both as well as the present and the future. Yoga kshema means that present as well as the future is Krishna's responsibility. Present as well as the future. And drishtadrishta matobadesha kritino bahya andara vyapina. Other words, then all religious systems, whatever that exist and yet to exist, Krishna is the person who controls everything. Who controls everything? Sarvajnasya, one who knows everything what goes on. Dayakarasya, and who has the compassion for everyone. Bhavada kim vedidavyam maya. And when he is such all-knowing and all-merciful, Shambhotvam paramandaranga idime chitte smarami anyuaham. That, and he, not only that he senses everything, he is also conscious of everything what is going on inside. And chitte smarami anyuaham. And he is so close to us, dearest and the nearest in every way. Krishna is, isn't it? So it is a question of that faith in Krishna. Question of that faith in Krishna. Krishna is present inside us, Antaryami, ready to act anytime. And if we depend on Krishna, you will see that there is no necessity to go to such extent in life. And this is what is called Krupa. Krishna's grace will come from that. It is because all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and all, is only to stress this point. So, Kripa Shakti, what we discussed in the beginning, depends on this surrender or dependence on Krishna. If we are not dependent on Krishna, Kripa won't come. Kripa won't come. By studying a lot of Shastram, Kripa won't come. Only by dependence on Krishna, Kripa will come. That is the important message. Remember that Kripa is necessary in order that the manifestation of all this Devi Sambhata. Where will Kripa come from? Kripa comes from dependence on Krishna. Dependence on Krishna. So that is why, and in that case, sometimes parents, they will give the children things what's not good for them. Isn't it? Parents do give it to them sometimes just to please them. Chocolate, for example. They give the chocolate to them. And, or the children says that I want to go for the movies or go and enjoy somewhere something. Parents will say, yes, go and do that. So that is the kind of love parents will show to the children. Just to somehow or the other to keep some peace at home or to satisfy their desires, parents will make some concessions like that. Because that kind of concession or love, what you show to the child, is dangerous sometimes. That's why they say love is more dangerous than hatred sometimes. Because some people sometimes through their love, they will kill you. They'll murder you through their love. Because behind that love, if there is no knowledge, if there is no knowledge, it is more dangerous than hatred. More dangerous than hatred. That's what they say. Love without intelligence is more dangerous than hatred. Without intelligence. That one should know to express the, how to express their love. Knowing the other person's real needs and able to do things. We will think that out of love I am doing this for somebody else. But possibly you may be doing the greatest harm to that person. Greatest harm to that person. Just like a person who has got, this is always the example, diabetes. You invite him home and you give him a few liters of sweet rice and tell him, enjoy it now. So he says to you, no, I can't take it because I got diabetes. He says, no, don't worry, I'm giving it out of love for you. You take it. And then after that he goes home and he gets sick. That you don't want to see that, isn't it? So you put that person in a difficult situation. And similarly, all the good things what we do for our children also, in the same way, sometimes it turns out to be very damaging. And you can see this is an important principle, we have talked before also about that, that if you have done a lot for the children in that way, and then you find that finally the child doesn't even look at you, they don't want to know anything about you in life. Why? And parents are complaining, I've done so much for them and in return they didn't care for us. Reason is this, that you have given them happiness to them, but inside that every child, when they come to this world, he wants to escape from here. That is a internal desire inside in everyone. Everyone who comes to this world, very soon they find out that this is not a safe place to be. Everyone comes to realize that. In different levels, nobody feels security here. Is it not? So when we come here, even a child, when he's growing up, he starts realizing that I have to find my own interest. And he also knows that his own weaknesses due to sense gratification, attachment to so many places, he is suffering. He wants to escape from that. And he wants some help from outside for that. And you are not offering that to him. Instead, what you are doing is, you are making him more and more to enjoy, to get addicted to different things. And he is not able to break away from it on his own strength. He is not able to do that. He is looking for some help from outside, which he is not getting it. Which is not getting there. So, what happens is, when you are giving all this happiness in life to him in the form of sense gratification, the child will speak to you and finally he gets disgusted with you. Why he gets disgusted? Because the Antaryami inside is cursing you. When you are offering this sense gratification to the child, the Antaryami inside is cursing you. On a surface, superficially, he is taking it from you because it satisfies his senses for the moment. But in a much deeper level, inside, Antaryami is cursing you. And that is why he says here that personality, the surface personality is satisfied, but the personality in depth is not satisfied. Personality depth is not satisfied. And the personality inside, in the deep level, is distressed. He is distressed. And we won't know that difference. We won't know that difference. Externally, we are thinking that we have done everything good for that child. We have done everything good for the child. But that Antaryami inside, he is struggling very much to break away from this. Break away from this. He on its own is finding it difficult to cut through that. Break away the knots and come out from that. Antaryami is not able to do it on. And when he comes to this world, the child knows that he wants to escape from here. In everyone, at a very deeper level, there is a desire for liberation. There is a desire for liberation. But what happened is, when he had come to this world, immediately, as though he has been pushed into a very deep pit, he is in that state here, and he does not have the capacity to come out and jump out from there. So, therefore, this problem comes. This problem comes. So that is why we are talking about Ramatirtha's case. In Ramatirtha's case, completely, if you look at his life, this is what has made him to come out. Made him to come out. If you look at those lectures he's made at that time, when he went to America, which is called this Woods of God Realization, you can read that. Those lectures, they have published together as a book later, and he was lying down in the, there's a famous river, Sacramento River in America. On the river bank, he was lying there. On the river bank, he was lying down on the sand with one leg on top of the other leg, fully relaxed. He was lying there. And he was chanting pranavam, om, within himself. And he was talking to the river, he was talking to the sky, he was talking to the earth, and he was talking to the trees, and his conversation went on like this. It was at that time, one person was walking through that road. He came up and saw him lying there, and he started talking to him. He says to him, that, how come you are so lazy, he said. Look at everybody else is working so hard. And how come you are so lazy, don't want to do anything here, he said. And he says, don't you think that if you don't have anything to do, at least you should do something for others? He said, why don't you do something to help others, compassion for others, he says to him. So, and instead you're just lying down like a lazy person. The Americans couldn't bear that. Says to him, you're so lazy lying like this. So, why not show pity to the world and do something for others? So, Swamiji says to him, is that not business already overcrowded, doing for others? You can see in the world, so many people want to do so much for so many others, but it is all finally ends up in more problems from that, isn't it? So, and he says to him that this is such a long queue for doing good to others in this world. Let them finish. But as far as I am concerned, he says, who are you to show pity to others, he said. Show pity to yourself first. This was Ramtirtha's strong statement to him. You elevate yourself. And this is exactly what Krishna is also telling us. Uddharet alpan alpmanam. Alpmanam avasadayal. Alpmanyev alpmanu bandhu. Alpmanyev ribur alpmana. Remember? Uddharet alpan alpmanam. Krishna says this to both to Arjuna as well as to Uddhava. First, don't talk about pity, compassion and all these things. Krishna says, Uddharet alpan alpmanam. First thing that. After that, we can talk about our pity and our compassion for others. That's not important as far as Krishna is concerned. Because without doing this, you're trying to think about changing this world. First of all, you get free from distress. Unless you are free from distress, you can't remove somebody else's distress. This is the principle. Unless you are free from distress, you can't remove the distress of somebody else. You can supply him food, shelter and things like that. But that's not solving the problem. That is the point. Uddharet alpan alpmanam. Alpmanam avasadayal. Alpmanyev alpmano bandhu. Alpmanyev ribur alpmana. In the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna says the same thing to Uddhava also. Isn't it? Alpman alpmanam uddharet. Krishna says. Alpman alpmanam uddharet. Krishna says to Uddhava. So, that was the line. Ramadhartha was also saying exactly the same thing. Ramadhartha was saying that your so-called this will only come only from a realized soul. Only from a realized soul this can happen. They will have that understanding that without which it's not going to happen. In the Bhagavatam, what does it say? Yathātaror mūla niṣejanena trupyandidal skandha mujoba shākhāha pranovahara chetendriyānam tadaiva sarvarhanam achyudejya. I think it is in the fifth canto. That there is a tree standing there. There is no need to water the leaves, twigs, branches and everything. Water the root. If the water is, root is watered, then everybody else will get the benefit. And this is the principle of spiritual life. Whether it is in the Bhagavatam, whether it is in the Bhagavad Gita, or every Mahatma will also tell you exactly the same thing. You realize the truth, then this world will get the highest benefit. Rather than doing all other sorts of relief operations in this world. Isn't it? All other relief operations has no much of a help till we realize the truth. And that is the point Krishna is making here also in the same way. That find out that way, that how to elevate yourself. On your own you find out the peace, and then after experiencing that peace inside, within ourselves, shanti inside, without that shanti, how you are going to give shanti to somebody else? He said, Krishna says there, isn't it? So, same principle. If I am not free from distress, how can I expect somebody else to be free from distress? So, first thing, that shanti or satisfaction or perfection has to happen. And it is only for that purpose we were born. Only for that purpose we were born. Not only that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how it is put forward is that this birth itself is an opportunity given for that purpose. Before we were born, while we were in the womb, the jiva has prayed to Krishna. Remember, it is called in the Kapilam, if you study Kapilopadesham, Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi, you will find there that the jiva, when he enters into the body, he is in a yoga state. That means he knows a lot of things, what happened in the past, and he knows where he is now, and he is knows what is going to happen to him. All these things are known to him. That means Trigalakyanam is present in the jiva while he is within the womb. So while it is within the womb, the jiva prays to Krishna what all he has done in the past and what mistakes he has committed, and asking for help. So he says to him, because the life is very difficult inside while in the womb, he prays to Krishna, please release from me, and if you release me from here, then I will make sure that I will completely take your shelter from now on, and I will escape from here. But this, because while in the womb, he realizes more than while being outside the womb. When he comes out, he forgets everything. Everything is forgotten. Completely we get stuck in the world outside. But while we are inside the womb, when the world has not affected us then, at that time, all our knowledge is from previous life. All the life knowledge we have at that time is from the previous life. That is why you can see when the birth process is discussed in the Bhagavatam. If you look into the third canto, how birth happens. That jiva enters into that piece of flesh. Kalalam, Budbudam, it says so many words mentioned there. And that piece of flesh is growing. Now, when it is growing, first the senses came. How did the senses happen? He wanted to see. A thought came and the eyes developed. Very interesting expression that is in the Bhagavatam. He wanted to see things, eyes came out from the body. He wanted to hear things, ears came up. He wanted to smell things, nose came up. Because otherwise it's only a piece of flesh inside. And the jiva is entered. So when the jiva entered, these different senses, natural way it started manifesting in the body. So here he is saying to him that at the time of that birth, what is happening inside, study this very well in the third canto. If you study there, you will see this, that prasavagalida bodham pidayolangya balyam punaravibada muhyateva tarunya kale kapila taniruditvam devahutye negadim. Then yuvadi jadara ghinnu jada bodopyakande prasavagalida bodham pidayolangya balyam punaravibada muhyateva tarunya kale Kailata Niriditvam Devahutyai Negadi. Devahuti, Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi like this. What is that? Yuvati Jadara Khinnam, while you were in the womb of the mother, Jadabo Dopyakande, that you are conscious of your existence inside, in that state. Prasavagalida Bodham Pidayo Lankhya Balyam. That prasavagalida bodham, that the problem of that prasavam, delivery, what is going to happen, that pain inside is fully conscious there. Pidayolankhya balyam, that, and then the childhood that is going to follow after that, with all the distress that comes along with that. Punarabhi vedamuhyatyeva karunya kale, that punarabhi, again, once and again, the youth is coming. And what happens? Everything else is forgotten. As soon as the youth comes, immediately forgotten all the misery what happened in the childhood. Childhood is actually a misery. We think childhood is all fun, isn't it? Childhood is not fun. Childhood is misery actually. That being dependent on the parents, whatever they offer you, you have to accept that. You have no choice there. And then no independence to do anything. And often there is no proper, completely dependent on the instincts of the senses and the mind, we live in this world, in the childhood. No intelligence also not developed. So it's not a very good situation. So even in that state, and after going through these problems in the womb, after going through the childhood, as soon as you come to the youth, you forget everything. All what happened before. You're completely forgotten. Isn't it? Prasava galitha bodham pidayolankhya palyam punarabhi vadamuhyateva tarunyakale. Tarunyakale means that youth stage. Once the youth comes, all that distress is completely forgotten. Isn't it? And so when we were in the womb, Krishna shows the video to us. A video of our history. Krishna shows that to us. And what that video shows is how many bodies you have changed before. What kind of bodies you had in the past. Grass onwards, from starting from the grass. Worm, snake, tiger, all sorts of birds, trees, plants, creepers, all sorts of them. Everything is shown to us in there. And after finishing all that, completely you got exhausted, and finally this body was given. This particular body was given. And by now, because of this long journey through so many different bodies, you're completely exhausted. You're completely exhausted. And I'm so exhausted that all these things you can see while you were in the womb. You can see all these things while you were in the womb. Because inside the womb, everybody is equal. There is no royal family, or there is no poor family, princely family, or ministerial family, or president's family, nothing matters. Whether you are in the womb of the first lady, or you are in the womb of the poorest person in the world, inside, the facility offered is the same. Inside the womb, isn't it? The facility that is offered, whether you are the daughter or the princess from the royal family, or whether you are in the womb of a very poor person, the facilities that's available inside, it is the same. It is the same. So, so once it so happened that Mysore, the king of Mysore, and the queen was pregnant at that time. So one Mahatma said, can you provide the baby inside, air conditioning inside? Is that possible for the baby to provide air conditioning? Because inside the womb, that misery, distress what we have to go through is equal for everybody. No one is exempted from that, isn't it? And when happens that, when the jiva has come out of the womb, everything is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. And then from that day onwards, other people will start coming and start telling us so many different things and making us more enthusiastic about life in this world in that way, isn't it? And as soon as he has come to this world, completely fallen into this world, he has forgotten everything, what happened inside the womb, what happened inside the womb. And he even forgets for what purpose he had come. And we keep teaching him what all he has to do in this world. And we start telling him at that time. First we send him to nursery, not to school, nursery. And what do we teach him? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All king's horses, all king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. This is the first lesson. What he got after coming out from the womb. Can you imagine? Isn't it? These verses we will remember. Bhagavad Gita verses, no. It won't go in. This verse is so nice, isn't it? Rhymy. And very nice. And we learn that. And if the child sings that, we are happy. Isn't it? Now, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. And the verse itself is an indication of the thing. Why? He says he had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, it says. What is that fall? This is that fall. That we have lost it. Already we have lost it. That as soon as you come out, Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty has lost it. So the beginning itself is a fall. Beginning itself is a fall. And how did he fall? Upside down, says in the Bhagavatam. Viparita anugatim gadaha. He didn't even come in the proper way. Viparita anugatim gadaha. Opposite way he fell, he says. Didn't fall. At least if you come proper way into this world, it's always upside down. First thing. So the Humpty Dumpty, when it fell, Bhagavatam says, Viparidanu Gadim Gadaha. Viparidam, it came. In the opposite way, it has come. And this is what we are very proud of, this education. Isn't it? Highly learned people are coming out from this. So, so if you go to nursery, this is what they will teach. When you go to Sanskrit study, what they teach is, Abhivadana Shilasya Nithya Vridhobi Sevina Chatvaridasya Vardhande Ayurvidya Yahosaham. He says here that this great fall, what has happened to Humpty and Dumpty, Humpty Dumpty, that the father and mother is pleased when they hear that child singing, isn't it? Oh, he's learning very well. A few songs like this. Parents are feeling ecstatic. Look, our son has studied. First day itself he has learned the verse. First day itself he has learned the verse. Congratulate the teacher. Congratulate the child, how intelligent he is. And how well he is doing in the school. And actually, that itself is the fall. That's the fall. So, what happens is that when he comes to this world, he forgets everything. Because Shastram says, if you have not known yourself, who you are, if you have not known that, what use is all this education at the end? This is what Shastram says to us. If you have not understood who you are, whatever education you got in this world, what use it at the end? This is what the question is, isn't it? So in other words, knowing the self, realizing the self, is the goal of everything. The goal of everything. In order to do that, you have to reflect on things. I'm not this body. First thing, we have to know that. And body is not my real identity. This is a dead matter, this body. And body never say, it's me, I am. Body never says that. Even if you break away this body into hands and legs, they will never say that I am that. I am that body. So, so those who don't have hands, those who don't have legs, even they have got that awareness inside about who they are, isn't it? Irrelevant or irrespective of whether you have a complete body or a part body, it doesn't matter. The awareness is always complete, isn't it? Of my existence is complete. You can never break it into pieces. And we have completely ignored that existence or awareness or consciousness, and given importance to the body from day one itself. There everything has gone wrong from that day onwards. Everything has gone wrong. So the important here, Krishna is mentioning here, that even if you remove the head, that's also not a new thing. Modern medicine hasn't reached that stage yet. But from Bhagavatam you can see, Daksha's head was taken out, goat's head was put on. It is possible. It is possible. If the two famous Ayurvedic physicians, Shushruta and Charaka, they have even spoken about that in their times, they were able to do that. Through mantra, they were able to take the head off and replace it with another head. Because head is not what carries the consciousness. Head is not what carries the consciousness. You will see one after the other, now already the organs they are replacing in various organs in the body, isn't it? And we consider we have achieved something. But similarly, replacing any parts in the body is not a surprise at all as far as Shastram is concerned. Because they say like this, that in Vedam, there are so many instances, this changing the head. Atharvava case, Ashwini Devas went up to him, took his head off and put the horse head there. It's in the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, you can read it. Atharvava story. So, that technique, what they have known, that Atharvav had this horse head on top of him, and person is the same, but instead of a horse head, he has got there. But that it didn't change his awareness inside of his existence, who he is. Awareness didn't change. Except Daksha Prajapati also, when his head was taken out, of course Daksha's case happened much before, but Atharva's case much later. So Daksha Prajapati's case, when they took out the head also, Daksha Prajapati, it was Lord Shiva's instruction as a punishment to him for what he did. Isn't it? Daksha is a Dehabhimani, you have to remember that. He was Dehabhimanam in him, identification with the body. He offended Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva didn't mind that, because he is Jagadguru, wouldn't take that seriously. But when what happened to Sadidevi, Sadidevi went up to the, you remember what happened in the Dakshayagam. He went there, she went there, and when Sadidevi was not welcomed by Daksha, and Sadidevi felt extremely offended when the portion that was to be offered to Rudra was not allowed in the sacrifice. And at that time, Sadidevi told Daksha, "Do you know what you are doing?" She said to him, "Bhavanaho dveshti shivam shivetara." He said, "Pavitra kirtin tamalankhya shasanam. Mahanaho dveshti shivam shivetara." Great personalities, if you offend them, the result of that, you may not be able to bear it, he said. She said to him, in spite of that, Daksha Prajapati didn't care. He was more concerned that I have such a son-in-law who is not worthy of any respect. That was his attitude. Lord Shiva even didn't mind that. But when Sadidevi decided to give up her body, in the fire of the yoga power, she gave up her body, Shiva didn't tolerate that. And when the news was reported, Shiva pulled out from the jada, and threw it on the floor. From that, Virabhadra appeared, and he told Virabhadra to go and finish up that whole sacrifice there, the Daksha sacrifice, isn't it? So it is in the Bhagavatam, you can see the whole of fourth canto, first six chapters is this Daksha story. So Virabhadra goes and destroys everything, and Daksha's situation was, in the sacrifice you can't kill anyone with a weapon. So there was a problem, Daksha couldn't be killed. Virabhadra, was very powerful, who was an expansion of Shiva, was trying to kill him with a weapon, but he couldn't kill him. So at that time, he sensed that Virabhadra understood the reason being that it is a sacrifice, and the only way to kill him is by suffocating, choking the breathing process. So he held his head and twisted it many times and killed him in that way. Daksha was killed like that. And Daksha's body was lying there for days together. Virabhadra and everybody left. Bhrigu's beard was torn. Pusha's teeth were taken out. The whole sacrifice was a total disaster. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu didn't come for the sacrifice. It was such a sacrifice. And when they came back, all the demigods saw what has happened. They all went up to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, all the demigods, they came together to see Lord Shiva in Kailasam. And there's a whole description in the Bhagavatam when they came to see Lord Shiva and talking to him about this incident, what has happened. At that time, they asked Lord Shiva to give him back the life again to Daksha. Shiva says to him, yes, he can have his life back, but I want to give him a punishment for his offense. The punishment was that he could have a goat's head. So Virabhadra and others goes back there, brings a goat's head and puts it on Daksha's head. Shiva also was there. Shiva goes there and says to Daksha, Daksha, get up now. And Daksha gets up. As soon as Daksha got up, Daksha knew everything what has happened inside, but he had the goat's head. And Daksha pays obeisances to Shiva and glorifies Shiva at that time. In the Bhagavatam you can see Daksha's glorification of Shiva. So all these things, they could do that. You may think it's a magic or something. It's not the magic. Magic is this, that Lord Shiva, a realized great personality, Krishna's another expansion, is in Balaram himself, who he is. He decided that Atma in Daksha can function still As long, what form the body is immaterial, it doesn't matter. Whether a goat's head or elephant's head or whatever head it is, it doesn't matter. As long as the Atma enters inside, that body can come back to life again. And that is what it is saying here. So, so that awareness comes from Atma. As soon as Atma enters back into Daksha's body, that awareness inside, Daksha knew who he is. That awareness was inside. And that is not the body, that's not the mind, that's not the intelligence. Then what is that? That is that awareness, aham, aham, aham. That ahamasmi, that awareness inside. And we have to look at that awareness inside and we have to get surprised by that. Seeing that awareness, where is it coming from? That is inquiry of the self. Where is this awareness coming from? That my existence, consciousness, all the time awareness of my existence in all conditions, where is that coming from? And we have to get surprised by inquiring about that. That is spiritual life. So, that is, and this is exactly what Brahma has done. Do you remember this? In the third canto, this is how Bhagavatam, we have to connect it with ourselves. Otherwise, it is, simply reading Bhagavatam and thinking, oh, something happened, Brahma came, he created all these things, like they say in other scriptures. That is not how Bhagavatam teaches us. Bhagavatam, everything, if you look from right from the creation process, is closely connected with our life right now at this moment in time. So, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the third canto, 8th chapter, there is a verse there. Third canto, 8th chapter. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam. What does it say? That will tell you what goes on. What is happening today has happened to Brahma at that time. What is happening today has happened to Brahma at that time. Third canto, 8th chapter, 18th verse. If you look in Bhagavatam, you will see there that Kaesha yosau aham abja prashtaha edat kuto abjam ananyadashya apsum astikyedadastad ihakinjaneidad adishtidam yatra satanubhavyam. What is that verse? See, when Lord Brahma sat on the lotus flower and contemplated, that time, first question he asked was, who am I? Who am I? This is what is expected from us also. That is why it's spoken like this. Brahma, when he sat on the lotus flower, the first question he asked was, who am I? And that is self-inquiry, aham aham. Kayesha yosau aham abja prishtam, edal kudova abjam ananyayapsum, asti khedadastad iha panjaneitad, adishtidam yatra sada nubhavyam. Lord Brahma, in his ignorance contemplated, who I am, I that am situated on the top of the lotus. Where from has it sprouted? There must be something downwards, and that from which this lotus has grown must be within the water. So you can understand that why that verse is there? To tell us also, this must be the first inquiry in a person's life. Which one? Ka esha evasau taham abja prashtaha. That who am I? Abja prashtaha, who am I? And what happened was, Brahma looked at himself and he got surprised and said, who am I? We are also expected to get surprised asking this question, who am I? We should get surprised. That's why it's spoken like that. Ka esha yosau saha abja prashtaha. ka esha yoso.
Aha, abja prashnaha.
So he got surprised himself, and he started thinking, where is this experience coming from? I am. Why am I feeling of my existence? This is an interesting question, isn't it? I am existing. Where is this awareness coming from, that I am existing, isn't it? And aham asmi. And even if the room is dark, still you feel that awareness. Still you feel that awareness, isn't it? So, where is it coming from? That is what Brahma asked the question. See, inward looking nature from day one. Inward looking. Didn't inquire where is all this came from. He inquired where is this awareness coming from. So you can see beginning of spiritual life is there inside. So he had no doubt. You can see that in the dark room, you know yourself, but I won't know about you. If the room is dark, your existence I am not aware of. But my own existence I am aware of, whether it's dark, whether it's light, whatever it may be, my own existence I am always conscious of. Which is a big thing, is it not? That is what Krishna is saying here. That so that therefore, what is that? Where am I sitting actually? Ka esha yoso sah abjaprashtaha, he says. Abjaprashtam. Abjaprashtam means lotus flower is his seat. Lotus flower as the seed. So, Brahma very easily realized that instead of thinking I am inside the body, Brahma was super intelligent to think that body is in me. You see? That we are all thinking that I am inside the body, isn't it? Instead, Brahma thought from day one that this body is existing in me. In me. So, this is the important realization Brahma had from first day itself. Brahma understood that it is in the awareness that the body exists. It's in the awareness and body is only an appearance. That's also another thing. Body is only an appearance, nothing more than that. So many things appear, lights appear, the roof appear. So many things appear. Body has appeared in the same way. So, but Brahma immediately understood that something that has appeared is not me. Real me is that consciousness from where awareness is coming. That source from where the awareness is coming. So you can see how Brahma's mind, Brahma's thoughts went, in which direction. Whereas for us, always it is body, isn't it? Body is there, inside there is a soul there inside, and there is a mind inside there, like the way we identify. But always we are identifying with the body, always identifying with the body. But for Brahma, from the very beginning, this is the mercy of Krishna, Krishna's grace, that is. From first day itself, when Brahma was educated, first day in education, as soon as this thought came up, that means, in order to even get the thought to come in the right way, you need Krishna's grace. Without Krishna's grace, this wouldn't have happened. Brahma thought in the right way, first day itself. Proper way, the knowledge came up from inside, saying that it is in me that this body is existing, body is only an appearance. Brahma understood that. That is the difference between Brahma's knowledge and our knowledge. We send the children to school to learn all the things. At the end, after 20 years in this uni, he comes back, school and the college. He hasn't got a clue what he is, isn't it? So, in our spiritual life, these things matter a lot, because they are important. And Brahma is showing an example to us, ka esha yoso abja prashtaha. Yoso vaha abjaprashtaha. That abjaprashtam. Abjaprashtam means lotus flower as a seed. He asked the question, ka esha yoso. Who am I? Who am I? That first question from Brahma. At that point, he got the answer in this way, that this awareness or consciousness, what you are experiencing now, that's what you are. That's what you are. And this body is nothing but an external appearance. It's only an external appearance. And that what Brahma has realized at that time of the creation is true today, even with us, right at this moment. Is it not? Is it not? What Brahma realized at the time of creation, when he was born, what he realized at that time, has that changed today in our life now? It hasn't changed. We have fallen into ignorance, we admit that. But the truth hasn't changed. And that is why whatever that is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam can never change. Truth remains as it is. This is the important thing. What Brahma realized at that moment is true even today in our individual case as well. Is it not? We also are consciousness, awareness. Body is only an external appearance. Body is only an external appearance. So you can see Vedic knowledge is always like that. Nasato vidyate bhava. It never changes. It holds on to that all the time. So if this train of thought is built up inside, you can see here that whether we are chanting the holy name or for a moment, if you ask this question, who is chanting? Who is chanting? Who is doing the work? And when we close our eyes, we are seeing different forms inside. In our mind, we see so many different forms. So who is seeing those forms? Suppose when you close your eyes, inside your mind, you are seeing so many different people, different forms. Who is seeing that? If you ask that question, this is how Kanda Upanishad begins. Kanda Upanishad begins with that question. It says there, Kala Devo Yunakti. Kanda Upanishad says that who is coming out and through the eyes looking into the world and giving attention to the world? Who is doing that? Who is hearing things through the ears? And by whose permission the mind is going out into the world and inquiring? And in the night time, when you can see there, at the time when you are sleeping, your dreams are coming. When the dreams coming, where is that light that is coming in the dream? Where from that light is coming in the dream? And yes, svapneshu jagarti kamam kamam purushenayo nirmimanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam etadvaitad. Kathopanishad, talk to who? To Nachiketas, Yamadharmaraja says this to him, that yes, svapneshu jagarti kamam kamam, that is, that's in the dream state, as well as in the vacuum state, which fulfills all our desires, purushenayo nirmimanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam, that is brahmam, and edadvaitada, and that's what you are. You can see that in the Kathopanishad. So, while sleeping, while woken up situation, and even while sleeping, when you are dreaming, and still awake at that time, in the dream state, we see so many wonderful things happening in that dream state, isn't it? And when you look at all these things, what's happening inside, is that not amazing? All these things, what's happening inside us. Not only in the vacant state. We are only taking the vacant state as the most important thing. What Krishna is saying to us is, even in the dream state, why all these things are happening inside? And where is the light coming there in the dream state? And in the dark room, we are seeing this dream and you are seeing everything clear there. So, where did the light come from? So, if you leave all that, leave your dream state also, and if you go into the deep sleep state, anyone in that deep sleep state, you have thrown away everything. You have thrown your body away. You have thrown your mind away. You have thrown your senses away. And you have thrown away everything and you enjoyed happily in that deep sleep state. Look at the Upanishad's logic. Upanishads is saying to us, with these three states, if you continuously analyze it, How can you identify with the body? That is Upanishad's question. How can you identify with the body? At least on intellectual level, can you not accept that you are not this body? Is it not? You see, in the vacant state, the awareness is there. Like Brahma realized, he opened his eyes and he realized, first thing he realized was that this body is only an external thing. Awareness is more important for him, for Brahma. What Brahma says, awareness is more important. Because if the awareness is not there, what's the use of talking about the body? Is it not? In other words, body is dependent on the awareness. Awareness is not dependent on the body. Isn't it? Awareness is independent. Body is dependent on the awareness. If I have no awareness, then this body, what does it mean? And I'm identifying with the body. So there, big blunder happened to us. We identified with the body from all the time, took body very seriously, never took the awareness seriously. When we, and this awareness is the one which is our real existence. Our existence is this awareness, nothing else. And that awareness is present in us all the time. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all the stages. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, it's there. In the vacant state, even if you switch off all the lights in the room, I am still conscious completely about my own awareness, existence. I may not be conscious of your existence. But my awareness, you can't take it away from me under all circumstances. If I go into the dream state, when I am comfortably sleeping, I am dreaming something, and in that dream state, in that dream, I am seeing things clearly, what's happening in the dream, so many experiences in the dream, and sometimes the mind is going out through the senses to the world to enjoy, and who is behind it? I am asking that question, even in the dream state, and I get the answer that it is again that awareness behind it. Awareness behind it. Again, my identification is with the awareness. When you switch off from vacant state, as well as from the dream state, and when I go into the deep sleep state, I throw away this body, throw away the mind, throw away the intelligence, and throw away even my ego out. And still, I come back from the deep sleep and say that I had a great time in the deep sleep. Again, if I had no awareness, how could I have experienced that deep sleep in the awareness? So, it is everything is happening in the awareness, not in this gross body. Still, we identify with the body. That is what Krishna is asking here. This question that na kanchana kamam kamayadi kanchana sapnam pashyadi tat sushuptam sushuptasthanam eki bhutaha pratyanaghanam brahmam anandamayam anandabuk. All these things you can see in the Mandukya Upanishad. So, all these things, we are closing our eyes. We don't want to take any of these things. And we want to say that we didn't know anything, I didn't experience anything, I didn't touch anything. But, and not only that, this thing what identify with me at the moment as man, woman, or male, female, whatever that is, and none of them existed in that deep sleep state. Everything was gone. Everything was gone there. And still I am coming out in the morning and saying, I had a good sleep. So who had the good sleep? Who had the good sleep? So, I think it is 5 o'clock. We'll have a break now. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagnim vavanam Shreyakkaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadu jeevanam Anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnam vadaswadhanam Sarvapna subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangeertanam Namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatrarpidani vidas varanena kala Edadrishi tavakrava bhagavan mamavi Durdaivami drishamihajani nanuraga Trinara vishuni chena taravi sahishuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadi shakamaye Mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavada bhakti rahi dugitvai Hai nandadanu jagingharam katidamam shame bhavambudo Tavapada pangajasti dadu li sadasham vijinvaya
കാമമാശ്രിത്യ ദുഷ്പൂരം ദംഭമാനം അദാന്യതം മോഹാൻ ഗൃഹീത്വാൽ അസദ്ഗ്രാഹാൻ പ്രവർത്തന്തേ അശുചിപ്രദാഹ ചിന്തം അപരിമേയം ച പ്രളയാന്തം ഉപാശ്രിത കാമോപഭോഗപരമ ഏതാവതിഥി നിശ്ചിത ആശാപാശ ശതേർബദ്ധാ കാമക്രോധപരായണ ഈഹന്തേ കാമഭോഗാർത്ഥം അന്യേയേനാർത്ഥ സഞ്ചയൻ അന്യേയേനാർത്ഥ സഞ്ചയൻ That's what we have spoken so far about the demoniac nature, about the demoniac nature. So Krishna mentions in this point that why we keep going back to these three stages, three states of existence, is to convince all the time ourselves that the the ajnanam inside is not allowing us to see the truth. The truth you can see when you talk about the jagrat, waking state, dream state and deep sleep, and awareness, what we have seen in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Brahma is acknowledging the fact that that first realization Brahma had was that, who am I? That was first realization, Brahma's. We didn't have that. Again, in the three states of existence, you can see that this realization of the self is in all the three states. In all the three states. In the vacant states, it's present very vividly, plus it's also very peculiar to the individual, in the sense that even when you switch the lights off or in the darkness also, awareness doesn't leave us, stays with us. Again, to point out this fact, what Brahma has realized there, that the real identity is the self, not the body. Real identity is the self and not the body. Body is only an external appearance, what has come later. Instead, even in the vacant state, we are in this deep darkness of the bodily identity, isn't it? Again, when you go into the dream state, you can see there also that without this external lighting, or even when the senses are all shut down, still all these activities, what is happening in the vacant state, is happening inside in the dream, is it not? So many things are happening in the dream without the presence of anything. In a way, it happens in the vacant state. To show to us that experience level, the dream state and the vacant state, there is no difference in the experience level, is it not? Experience level, there is no difference. It two different, no matter whatever we may say, vacant state is not different from the dream state. Vacant state is also another dream state. Only problem is you will only realize it when you go into the fourth state of Turiyam. Otherwise you won't know this. So, in the vacant state, what you are experiencing is one way of experiencing the truth. In the dream state is another way of experiencing it. And in the deep sleep, when you go, when you have thrown away all your body, mind and intelligence, everything, including the ego, which you have thrown away in the deep sleep, still the awareness of that experience is still there. Because as soon as you wake up, you are reporting that, saying that I had a good sleep. That's an indication that in the deep sleep you are experiencing that. You are conscious of that, of experience what was there. So from all these examples, Krishna is pointing out to us that if this primary education in spiritual life, which started with Brahma, is applicable today, right now for us, as much as it was true for Brahma then. It was true for Brahma then. It is not some history what is spoken. The beauty of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is, it's applicable to all of us today, right now, in this present situation. And it will be like this forever. It will never change. The truth what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is such a truth that it is truth all the time to come. Oh, it was in the past the truth. It is truth today. And this will be the truth in the future as well. So, here, coming back to this, he says there that that happiness that was experienced in the deep sleep state, that it is a unusual happiness which is not generally experienced in the wakened or the dream state. And that is the reason why most of the people don't want to wake up from the deep sleep when you have it, isn't it? So, where is that happiness coming from in the deep sleep state? Where is that happiness coming from? It's not coming from the sleep itself. It's not coming from the sleep itself. Because avidya, what Krishna is talking about, ajnanam or avidya, that is there in the deep sleep also. It's there in the deep sleep. Because you are saying that I didn't know anything when it happened in the deep sleep. And that declaration, saying that I didn't know anything when I was in deep sleep, I didn't know anything, that is a declaration of the intelligence. It comes from the intelligence. But the experience you had in the deep sleep, saying that I had experienced a good time, that's not coming from the intelligence. This we must know. The statement what you make when you wake up after that, I didn't know anything in the deep sleep, that is coming from the intelligence. But the experience what you had in the deep sleep, that you are experiencing some tremendous happiness in that deep sleep, that's not coming from the intelligence. Only with a very finer way you can understand that statement from the Upanishad says like that. So, there is something else apart from intelligence which has joined you at that time. And what was it? That is Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Sarvajnaha, Esha Andaryami, Esha Yonihi, Prabhavo Abhyanti Dukhanam in the Mandukya. Mandukya Upanishad says like this. So without any doubt, Vedam is saying at that time, Upanishad is saying to us that where the chittam, the subtle body, has gone and dissolved itself, that place where it has gone and dissolved, that is Andaryami. Whom we call it as Ishvara, whom we call it as Andaryami or Bhagavan, whichever way you want to address that. You see, experience is more important, not the person that we are referring to. What was our experience at that? Because it is through the experience we are recognizing it, isn't it? Not by seeing the form. You have not seen any form in the deep sleep. But in the deep sleep state, you have experienced something which you are completely in agreement with, that you had a great time in the deep sleep state. So, that Sarveshwaraha, Upanishad is saying, Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Sarvajnaha, Esha Andaryamihi. He is Andaryami, he is Sarvajna, he is Sarveshwara, Esha Sarveshwaraha. He is Ishvara, he is Andaryami, he knows everything, Sarvajnaha. This is how Upanishads connect ourselves with life. This is the only way you can accept Shastram. Otherwise, you see, there is two ways of accepting Shastram. One, somebody comes and tells you something, somebody is God, you accept him as God, and so many others have accepted him as God, you also accept like that. That way you can accept God. But the problem is, that is not your experience, isn't it? It's not your experience yet. But here, Upanishad is saying to us, Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Sarvajnaha, Esha Andaryamihi. This is why these three states of existence, if you study it well, it will make you properly Krishna conscious in the proper way. And it will be properly established inside. Because you yourself are experiencing it. Where is it necessary somebody else to tell you that? So what Upanishad is saying to us, Mandukya Upanishad is saying to us, this is where these 10 Upanishads comes into prominence. Katham, Kathopanishad, Kenopanishad, and this Mandukyam also. Of course, Brihadaranyam talks much more bigger. But in Mandukya Upanishad, it says like that, when in the deep sleep state, where you go and dissolves your subtle body, and you are waking up in the morning and reporting that you had a good time, who is reporting that? Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Andaryami, Esha Sarvajnaha. He is Andaryami, he is Sarvajnan, he is Sarveshwara, he is Ishwara, he is Bhagavan, he is Andaryami, he is Andaryami. If you connect it with Krishna in this way, you will find that connection is much more stronger. Rather than seeing a form and thinking that, oh, somebody has told me Krishna is God. Yes, I accept that, but I have not met God. I have not seen Him yet. I still have to see Him, isn't it? People are saying to me, and one day, we are thinking that one day He is going to come and meet us somewhere and take us out and tell us, look, I am so and so. Glad to meet you. In that way it's going to happen. There's no need for that. We've already met. It's already met. He's already there inside every moment telling us that I am there. Yasha Sarveshwaraha, Yasha Sarvajnaha, Yasha Andaryamihi. So simply by taking that deep sleep state and analyzing that, you can see this. Problem is, in that state, you can't do the self-inquiry in the deep sleep state. You can't do the self-inquiry. You can only do the self-inquiry in the vacant state, isn't it? Only do it in the vacant state. You can't do self-inquiry in the deep sleep state. Because in the deep sleep state, there is a jnanam, there is avidya is there. And one problem is, there is a jnanam there in the deep sleep state. Second problem is, there is no person there. Only experience is there, isn't it? There is no person there to exhibit there. So, this ajnanam or avidya is all in the intelligence. Avidya is in the intelligence. And that state is not in the vastu. Vastu means the atma. In atma there is no ajnanam. Atma there is no ajnanam. In atma there is only perfection. Atma is always perfect. Purnada, perfection is in the Atma. And that perfection is our identity. Is our identity. And that is why, if you remember, that first verse in the Bhagavatam, Vatandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. It says, what is that Advayam means? Advayam means, in that Atma, there is no second thing. For Atma is concerned, there is no second thing. Non-dual thing it is. Non-dual. Non-dual. What does that mean? It means that Atma knows about itself without anybody else's help. For us to know something, we need Atma's help. But to know Atma itself, Atma doesn't need another help from somebody else. This is what it is called non-dual. That Tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam it's called. Advaya jnanam means this. Knowing something without an external agency's help. Today, suppose I want to know something, I need my mind, I need my intelligence, I need my senses. Isn't it? It is these three that are helping me to get to know something. If I am talking about any object or any building or any such thing, any person, whatever it may be, it's all through the eyes, mind and intelligence. Is it not? But Atma on its own, he is self-effulgent. He has, or in himself, it is inbuilt, this awareness in him. Therefore, it doesn't require any external help from anywhere. Advaya jnanam. It's called Advaya jnanam. Vadandida tattvavedam tattvam jnanam advayam. That's why it's called Advaya jnanam. All these technical words in the Shastram is important, because Tattuvit, Krishna is saying there, Sudha Goswami says to Shavanagrishi, Tattuvit, one who knows the Tattvam, Vadandi, they say, Vadandita Tattuvidam, Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam. This Advaya Jnanam is the Tattvam. Advaya Jnanam is the Tattvam. Then after that he says, different people call it by different names, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. Shabdyade, he says. It's called, addressed in different names, but Vastu is one. Vastu is one. So this non-dual existence, Anandam or Shanti, is our Swarupam, is our identity. So, and when this divine nature, what Krishna has spoken, What is Nirmalada? That purity, that no no faults in it. Atma has no faults in there. Amrutam, Abhayam, all Krishna explained before. Sattva Samshuddhi. All these things are qualities associated with the self. Associated with the self. Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. All these are coming from the self, from the Atma. That is why Krishna mentions this. And when you start seeing all these qualities in a person, inside, it brings that perfection in that person, what is called nirvruti, or perfection there. And that is why Krishna mentions this in the 6th chapter. If you look, you will see. There is a verse there, 28th verse. Look at that. A yogi who has reached that stage, how is he experiencing that? Krishna mentions there. He says, Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi vigadakalmashaha sukhena brahmasam sparsham atyantam sukhamashnute. That's that verse. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi vigadakalmasha sukhena brahmasam sparsham atyantam sukham ashnute. Thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service to the Lord. So you can see, sukham brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham asnute. That yogi who has reached that stage, that means when all these divine nature, what Krishna has spoken here, if that has come to him, he will be in this state. Brahma samsparsham, it has happened to him. So that is the important point. That and he has also mentioned that, you know, Krishna is telling us in various ways. He puts it in front of us. Because this experience is anubhuti. It is not through be spoken through words a lot. It doesn't mean anything. Even if you keep on talking about it, it doesn't mean anything till it is experienced inside, isn't it? That is why Krishna is saying, in one way, in one place, in one way he has spoken. In the same 6th chapter, Krishna is saying, Yam labdhva chabaram labham, manyadhe nadhiyam tada. Isn't it? You remember that verse? Yam labdhva chabaram labham, manyadhe nadhiyam tada. Tasmin sthidhovana dukkhena gurunabhi vijayalyade, tam vidya dukkhasam yogam yogam yogasam idam. So yoga state or realized state, what Krishna can do to us is only explain to us what the yoga state is like. That's all he can do. But to reach that state and achieve that happiness and shanti and perfection is our duty. It's our duty. Of course, Krishna's grace is the prime factor there. But we have to know what we are looking for first. So Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita is like this. That there in this chapter, 28 verse, he said something about Brahma Samsparsham, he says. And in another place in the same chapter, he's saying that Yam Labdhva Chabram, once you have reached that state, Yam Labdhva Chabram Labam Anidhi Nathayam Tada, Tasman Sthidhona Dukkhena Gurunabhi Vijayalyade. And that Krishna is saying there that distress will come in life. Krishna is again stressing that point. Distress means there's only one person in this world who comes without a phone call or without an email. That is distress. Isn't it? That is distress. That is why they say, Mahatma says like this, that before you cut the jackfruit, cover it with oil. Otherwise you will have trouble. But if you have covered yourself with the oil, then you won't get, it won't stick to you. It won't stick on you. Similarly, before distress comes in life, we have to accept this point that there is a center in everybody where distress cannot touch. Distress can touch your body. Distress can touch your mind. Distress can touch your ego. Distress can touch your senses. But there is one center in all of us where distress cannot touch. So, that place, distress cannot touch that center. And that is that center island. What we say that it is not the ego, but it is the real I. It is the real I, Alma. So, you trace the ego I to source it and vanishes. And when you start inquiring about your ego first, it disappears and rests, and finally you come to that perfect I who is inside, perfect real I, in other words. So, that Purnada, Purna Bodham, which is known as Chit Shakti or Samvit, and so many different names in the Shastram spoken about that. So, Bhumiga Labdhi, they call it in the Jnanamargam, Bhumiga Labdhi. Bhumiga, if you have seen that Bhumiga of Shanti, Nirvriti, perfection, at least at that time, our life has become perfect, Krishna says here. It is only for this purpose, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, all of them. And so, it is only for that purpose, it has been spoken, all this to find that center inside. Because if you open the Bhagavad Gita, you can see there, all that is Krishna is going to talk about is the symptoms of the demons, isn't it? What is known as the Asuric nature. So, Shastram will tell you all the things. That is why, Shastraya Shwaneva Sunishchido Igam. In the Bhagavatam you will see, Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructs this. What is the essence? Essence is this, that Analpa Vastu, what is not Alpa? What is not Alma? Analpa Vastu. We have to break our attachment to that. And Alma Redi, Anandam is in Alma, not in the Analpa. And outside objects, there is no Anandam there. Anandaha, Alma Kredanaha, Alma Midhunaha. Only in Alma, Atma Sarupam, Krishna Sarupam, which is the Self, only there exists this Anandam or happiness or bliss. And nowhere else you can see Anandam. Anandam won't come from anywhere else. Anandam can only come from the Alma. Anandam can only come from Alma. This is the conclusion of all the spiritually realized souls. That is why they are different from us. We see Anandam coming from the world, objects, people, so many other things. We are expecting Anandam and we think we are getting Anandam from there. But realize the souls, great devotees, jnanis, all of them agree with this one point. Anandam can only come from Alma, nowhere else. Nityashuddha Mukta Mukta Swarupam, Satchidanandam we say, isn't it? Satyachitta Anandam. As far as they are concerned, Anandam doesn't exist anywhere else. Anandam doesn't exist anywhere else. It's only in the Alma. So there is no point in searching for it anywhere else. You will be disappointed at the end. That's the point Krishna is making here. That's why many times when devotees address Krishna, they will say this to them, that that the very addressing Krishna itself is that you are Ananda Rupa Bhagavanna Idevatare Prapte Pradipta Bhavadanga Niriyamanehi Kandivrajairiva Khanagana Mandalerdyar Avarnudi Vidirujekila Varshavela. That Melpatur said to Krishna that Ananda Rupam, you are Anandam. That means Alma is Anandam, Krishna is Alma. Alma and Anandam, Krishna, they're all one. They're all one. Nowhere else you will find Anandam is Krishna's Rupam. Krishna's form is Anandam. You can't separate Anandam from Krishna. So therefore, why Krishna appears in this world? To show to us that our Swarupam is Anandam. By Krishna's appearance, that's what we learn from Krishna. Because Anandam is the Swarupam of Alma. So anandam, that anandam is already there in Atma. Only what is required is remove that ajnanam from inside. Ajnanam from inside. And so when ajnanam is removed, when we realize that there is only anandam left behind there, and don't have to run away anywhere else looking for anandam, because this jnanam, what we are looking for, knowledge or atma or liberation, that you won't find anywhere else. That has to happen here, inside. And if you know here, you will know that it exists everywhere else. And Keno Upanishad also says the same thing. So, and if you lose this opportunity, Keno Upanishad says, Mahato Vinashti, greatest loss. This self-realization and finding our identity is the only thing. Keno Upanishad says in the first chapter itself, and if you lost that opportunity, greatest loss as well. Mother, the Vedam itself is saying this to us. I think I'll stop today here. We'll have some kirtan after. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.